لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wan ni'amata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. I'm going to ask Brother Tobela before we begin the program on this awesome, mashallah, Tuesday morning, the Bliss of Marriage Part 2. Brother Tobela, just put it a bit loud. Just for 30 seconds, I want my beloved Ustad and the listeners of Sirius FM and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba just to listen and ask yourself, what is labbaik Allahumma labbaik? Put it loud. Subhanallah.
Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك.
9 minutes after 11. الله أكبر الله أكبر.
إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
I'm going to ask my Ustad. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ustad, I want you to join in. Join in with us with the talbiyah. Put it loud. Put it loud, Brother Tobela. Ustad, let us hear you saying. Ustad, we can't hear you.
Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. لبيك اللهم لبيك. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. 10 minutes after 11 Central African time, you are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Every Tuesdays and Wednesdays, 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And today is part two with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim, Damat Barakatuhum. Ustad, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning. The atmosphere is here. All the Hujjaj are getting ready, inshallah. And as you can hear, the Talbiyah Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, the entire world, this is global ibadat, international ibadat, to see the entire Muslim world on one platform, united. Hold on to the rope firmly. And what is the rope? It is the sunnah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. Allah Ta'ala unite us all. Allah Ta'ala forgive us all. Allah Ta'ala protect us all. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Ey Musalmano, ghabrao mat. O Muslims, don't be fearful. Islam zinda hai. Islam is alive. Or Quran baki hai. And we have the Quran with us. So we have the most powerful weapon in the world. No enemy can fight us, or no enemy can touch us. But we need to, inshallah, walk the talk. We need to change our life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ.
Allahu Akbar.
So we are blaming everybody. Shaitan ko lanat karte hai. We cursing Shaitan, we cursing America, we cursing everybody. But we're not doing an introspection, Murana. Lapak is saying. Bima akasabat aidinna.
Beshak, beshak.
All the gunas that we are doing openly, deliberately, purposeful, to boast, whatever it is. And don't ever think that when Allah is giving you some grace, it shows your strength. It's not your strength. Allah is being kind to you. Allah is kind to the ummah of Rasulullah. You know, when Allah Ta'ala says, Ba'atan Shadeed, when Allah grips you immediately, then you are doomed. But when Allah gives you a little bit of grace, banda, most probably you'll make tawbah in a minute or two. You'll make tawbah by the end of business. You will come back to me. Allah Pak is so Rahim and Kareem on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar.
For those who azizu, sallu ala al-habib. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. All that we have achieved
Allahu
is because of Alhamdulillah, the barakah of Huzuri Pak sallallahu alayhi salatu wa sallam. So yes, Munaram. I'll start off with this beautiful hadith
indeed
of Rasulullah
sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Be good to your parents. Your children will be obedient to you. One. Number two, be chaste and your women will be chaste. In other words, men folk, look after your private parts. Stay away from zina. Then what is the benefit? Your woman will also be chaste. Allah will protect you, your wife, your children, your daughters, your sisters. What a beautiful hadith. Be good to your parents. One, your children will be obedient to you. Number two, men folk, be chaste. Have sharam and haya. Abstain from vice and guna and sins. And if you do so, your women will also be chaste and protected.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, subhanallah. 14 minutes after 11. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning. And I just love the way Ustad said that. Musalmano gabraumat. Indeed, indeed. Allahu Akbar.
Islam zindahe. Quran baqi.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I love that, Ustad. Ustad, it's another Wednesday morning. It's another day for the bliss of marriage. And I see the listeners already asking questions on 084-786-3132. I don't know, Ustad, I was thinking this morning. I woke up this morning, of course. I had Safina to Ilal Jannah. We missed you this morning. We were speaking on the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. We spoke to one Haji by the name of Imtiaz Malik, who was his first time Haji. He was in Azizia and actually was giving us the rundown and how all the South Africans are all excited for, I think this week they will be going to Mina, if I'm not mistaken, Ustad. So I was just thinking this morning, inshallah, that Ustad, maybe perhaps you could just guide us. If husband and wife, if they are in, they are going for Hajj, Ustad, does that bond that relationship by you going for Hajj, husband and wife? Because a lot of people say, Molana, it's not good to go with a husband and wife for Hajj, because when you're there, then they fight a lot, they scream at each other, there is no sabardar, and they swear at each other. I know there was a divorce that took place about a couple of years back in Makkatul Mukarramah. So I don't know, Ustad, and maybe perhaps you could just guide us, you know, if husband and wife, when they go for Hajj, does that bond their love? Does it bond their relationship, Ustad?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, you are the wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qala Allahu ta'ala, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum. قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا صدق الله مولانا العظيم. What a beautiful question you asked. Practical and a typical question. Should husband and wife go together? Definitely. The whole Hajj, if you take from start to end, it's about a family unit.
Allahu Akbar.
Father, husband, wife, and son. Allahu Akbar. Take it one step further. Husband, wife. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was first married to Hazrat Sarah. And there was no child in the beginning. Then the king of Egypt gifted Hazrat Hajar. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam married her. Allah blessed her with the son Ismail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later blessed Hazrat Sarah with the son named Ishaq. So the whole ibadat of Hajj, start to end, is how a family should behave, what a family unit should entail. I always say to the couple, may Allah take you and your children together.
Ameen, ameen.
So that when you hold your hands with your children and make tawaf of the Kaaba, what grace and what fazl Allah will make, what ni'mat and bounties and mercy and love Allah will rain upon you. So yes, it's a challenge sometimes, because as the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as-safru qit'atun min an-nar. You know, that traveling is a piece of fire. So obviously lots of things will happen in safar. And you will truly know your partner and spouse on a journey for the first time. Their tolerance level, their respect, their sabr, their attitude, their commitment, obedience, so many things. But as you said, there were unfortunate incidents that took place where people asked each other for talaq on the mazaf. It is so unfortunate, deprived of Allah's mercy. So, Mulana, the question here is, you should go and take your wife with, hold her hand. You know, there's a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when you buy a new house, you buy a new car, and inshallah, your bride, when you bring her home the first night, she hold her forehead, this hair that's growing on the edge of her forehead. Hold it with your right hand and ask this, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha. Wa khayra ma jabaltaha alayhi. Oh Allah, I'm asking you all the good that my wife of mine have. Oh Allah, all the beautiful qualities she has. Wa khayra ma jabaltaha alayhi. Allah, all the natural goodness that you have kept in her, Allah, I'm asking you. So that shows that, alhamdulillah, not only in front of the Kaaba, the day you get married, ask Allah, this is a ni'mat, gift. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha. Allah, I'm asking you the best of best that she has in her. Akhlaq-wise, taqwa-wise, manners-wise, generosity, simplicity, humbleness. Allah, I'm asking of all the good. So, Mulana, the answer is simple. May Allah give us tawfiq that we could go with our children also and stand in front of the Kaaba, like how Hadrat Ismail alayhi salam, when he finished and Hadrat Ibrahim built the Kaaba. What did father and son beg Allah for? Rabbana taqabbal minna. Innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. Yaha dua qubool hoti hai Maulana. Yaha rone ka maqam. Yaha aansu bahane ka waqt. You stand in front of the Kaaba, Maulana. Waha, you should be crying to Allah. You should be rolling tears. You should be supplicating to Allah. You should be, your tears cannot stop. Your crying in front of the Kaaba should not stop. This is the place Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in front of Bajri Aswad and said to Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Yaha rone ka maqam hai. This is the place where you should cry. This is the place where you should ask Allah. So how can I ask for something that is detrimental to me and my wife and my children? I want to divorce her there, or I divorce her there. I curse her there. Oh, no, this can't happen. Allah protect us from such a journey. Allah ke samne, you know, where Allah's rahmat and mercy, fazal and karam is raining. And here you stand there and say, Allah, I'm sending curses upon my wife or my husband.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
So Ustaz, answering your question, Mulana, I think.
Ustaz, can I stop you there? I don't know if you think you've got it on loudspeaker, because you actually are echoing, so I can't hear you so clearly. Ustaz, maybe you could come closer to the mic, or maybe to the... and then maybe
okay, Mulana, let me just sort this out for you.
Ji, Ustad, and then maybe perhaps we could hear you.
Can you hear me now, Mulana?
Gee, Ustad, yeah, that's a bit better.
Can you
better.
Hear me now?
Gee, Ustad, that's a bit better, that's a bit better. Ustad, the sister wants to stop you there. She says that Maulana Salim Karim, I don't think it's this is anonymous sister. Listening to the program, she says, Maulana Salim, I don't think it's a good idea to go with your couple, to go with your husband for Hajj. The sister says, Maulana Salim, we were only married for a year when we both decided to go for Hajj. And that was our honeymoon, Ustad. But things changed when we went there. The sister says that my husband was just looking at other women. He was physically staring at them, Maulana Salim. And he says, these are the makhluq of Allah. I'm disgusted. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Anonymous sister from Johannesburg. Ustad.
Maulana, first thing, I think, as I said, when we leave for Hajj, our niyat needs to be pure. That I'm doing this ibadat of Hajj for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mere fact that I'm going for a honeymoon, using that as a niyat or that as an alibi, first I think we need to correct the intention that we go for. Number one. Number two, This does not mean if one individual or 10 individuals do not obey the laws of Sharia and lower their gaze, then you cannot make a statement to say that it's not preferable for husband and wife to go. Unfortunately, this husband, he needs tarbiyat, he needs the suhbat of a pious servant of Allah to guide him spiritually. His nafs got the better of him. And this is absolutely a flimsy excuse. When you ask people, that why are you staring at that beautiful woman? He says, no, we must admire Allah's beauty.
Ya Allah.
Now, guna bhi karte hai, we're making such a big guna and still justifying it. She's Allah's makhluk, so what's wrong? My niyat is clear. This is how Iblis and Shaitan takes you from Siratul Mustaqim. Changes your niyat and intention. So somebody said, then when you see a masoom baby, then why are you doing that? That's also Allah's makhluk. Why don't you get excited and say ecstatic and say, mashallah? No, because she's young and attractive, mashallah, it suits your nafs and desire and your passion. And remember, Allah will put melted steel in your eyes for looking at haram. That's a punishment. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us.
Allahu Akbar.
It's sad for that sister. We make dua for her. It must be a horrifying experience that I'm a first-time bride. I thought my husband would admire me and love me. And what better place can I? We put hands together, two hands. Now there'll be four hands. Instead of two tears, there'll be four tears crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ustad, brother,
Allahumma.
Ustad?
Oh Allah, put us together. Kama jama'atana fi dunya. Oh Allah, unite us here also. In Jannah, like how you united us in the world. That's the dua he's supposed to be making, she's supposed to be making.
Subhanallah.
But unfortunately, lots of people become victim of this guna, Mulana. There are such horrible things that happen on the mataf. Some sisters come back and they say, Mulana, people are pushing us. We can even feel their body and we can feel the male organ touching us. Na'udhu billah min zalik. Some people's niyat is full of fitna and fasad. May Allah protect us. Because when Allah's azab is going to come, then unfortunately it will not be a good situation. That's why walk on the outer side of when you're making tawaf. Never mind, it'll take you a little longer. Try and avoid touching a woman. Try your best. Keep your nigah down. Oh Allah, protect my eyes. Allah, protect my private part. I'm standing in front of you, Rabbul Alameen. I'm standing in front of your house. So go the right frame of mind, Maulana. That's what I'm saying. Make your niyat correct and your attitude correct. So why am I going here today? And then see how Allah Ta'ala brings about changes, Maulana.
Ustad, I see there's a sister, anonymous sister. I'm not going to say from which place. She says that I should not take the place, but she wants the podcast of this program because she says, Maulana Salim Karim, you are speaking of facts. It happened to me when I went for Hajj, where I was touched. And the sister says that she could not do anything. So I don't know, Ustad, is this really happening? We know it is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we know we're going there for ibadat, as you were saying. And on the other hand, Brother Firoz from Four Ways, from Saint, and he says, but Mulana Salim Karim, isn't there a hadith? There's a hadith where it says you can only look once, or you can glance at a woman only once, but not the second glance. Brother Firoz, waliyadu billah, Ustad.
You know, let us not misquote the hadith or misinterpret the hadith.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you must look at least, because Sharia said you can look once. The thing, Allah is giving you a clear instruction, lower your gaze. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. It's clear in the Quran. Yes, if by mistake you looked, and Sharia says, once is enough for that split second. It doesn't mean you must look once and stay for 5 minutes and say, now, you know what, I looked at her once. You must understand the hadith in the true words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, you know, the brother is quoting the hadith. Yes, there is a hadith to that effect, but let's understand it and put it in proper context. Priority number one is to lower your gaze. And if by mistake, if it happened that you had a gaze, it's for that split second once. For that, you won't be held accountable by Allah. There's a difference by just having a glance and one is staring at somebody for a long period of time. There's a big difference, Mulana. It takes away the sweetness of your iman.
Definitely, Ustaz.
We don't understand the spiritual nuksan that we are doing to ourselves by staring at women, whether it's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. It is the poison of shaitan. It is the arrow of shaitan. He wants to destroy your ibadah. Imagine in front of the house of Allah. You still don't want to stop your guna.
Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
It's a habit formulated staring at women. One of the, some men have a bad habit. One of the x-ray the women's body from head to toe.
No, Ustad, no
from the way. From the way they look, Mulana, I'm serious.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun.
And that is why it's also important for our sisters to be even modestly dressed. Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin yughdidna min absarihinna. Keep your gaze low. So also, we must not also be responsible for gunas of other people. Dress in such a way, modestly, that nobody can see your face, nobody can see the figure of your body. That body of yours is an amanat from Allah. It is solely for your husband. Put it on show for your husband, Morana, not for the world. And that is the problem. When it comes to weddings, mashallah, our wives, daughters, mashallah, everyone, they dress the best for outsiders. Morana Thanvi Rahmatullah, they gave a very good nasihat. He says, you know, problem, you want to go for the wedding? Put your old clothes on and go, inshallah.
Yes.
And see if they go for that function. Because it's obvious that I want, inshallah, to be outstanding in that wedding. My outfit, every masjid say, ah, look at that outfit. That poor husband, he doesn't even get a chance to even look at his wife. Because the moment she comes back, she's taken that out. He didn't see the beauty of it. I'm not saying all the sisters are doing that. So may Allah Ta'ala protect us.
29 minutes to 12. You are tuning in, listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I do have about 4 or 5 questions. What I'm going to do quick, inshallah, we're going to go for a quick ad break. Unfortunately, we can't hear our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. I know the listeners are saying, Mulana, we can't hear him so clearly. I also can't hear him so clearly. But inshallah, we're going to go for a quick ad break. And then inshallah, when we come back, we will continue with The Bliss of Marriage. Stay tuned.
لبيك اللهم لبيك.
The takbir of these 10 days, which is known as Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. That Allah is most great, Allah is most great. There is no God worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is most great, and to Allah is all praise.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
25 minutes to 12. That was our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. I just love Brother Tobela. You know, I always say that Brother Tobela, he's our technician. He's our engineer, jack of all trades. Our beloved Brother Tobela. Ustad, are you back with me? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm sitting in my office here, I think, because it's echoing, because there isn't much a soundproof.
Okay,
so
Ustaz.
That's why I think we're getting a feedback. I'm sorry for that.
Ustaz, I've got a very important question. I don't know if I can read it out to you, Ustaz, inshallah. Maybe Ustaz can just advise the sister and the sisters out there. Mawlana Salim, we listen to you every Tuesdays and Wednesdays with Mawlana Hatia on the bliss of marriage. Mawlana Salim, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always take you from strength to strength, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep you the way you are for guiding our sisters out there who are in need of help. Mawlana Salim, why can't Islam have a group of ladies who can attend to all those ladies who are going through a divorce? Like how Jamiat has a group of ulama who attends the divorce cases. Why can't we have it where woman goes to woman? It's really unfair, Mawlana Salim. When I was going through a divorce, the mufti that was helping me became my friend. And he says here, and in the interim, he says to me not to worry, he will marry me after my iddat. I felt so low and I felt disgusted. And he said to me, Mawlana Salim, he really likes me and he won't put me through what my husband did to me. I just blocked him and as I sat in my iddat. I'm just reading the question, Ustad. I mean, I didn't have anyone to speak to, Mawlana Salim. Please, my sisters out there, form a group of body. Please, Islam need learned sisters out there. Anonymous sister, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allahu
Akbar. Qala Allah Ta'ala, Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun.
Haq.
Ask the learned scholars if you don't understand. Alhamdulillah, we have lots of alimas. We have lots of muftis.
Indeed.
Amongst the sisters who have done iftar. Most of them are very well versed in tafsir, hadith, fiqh. Your point is valid, Mawlana, and the sister's point is valid. That initially, I think, especially if women are having problems, they should go to these alimas and muftis amongst the females, inshallah, discuss the matter, take mashwara.
Yes.
And inshallah, for the final, you know, the initial interview, all the discussions in between, in the interim period, all should be done, alhamdulillah, with the alimas of noble character, inshallah, and well-versed in Quran and hadith and tafsir and fiqh. Makes a lot of sense, because during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was the muhaddith. They used to come, Sahaba used to come, great, great Sahaba, and sit in her presence. Yes, obviously there was hijab. And lots of interaction in the, as far as hadith is concerned, and so much of important knowledge was transferred from Hazrat Aisha to the Sahaba ikiram. So yes, we have learned sisters who are well capable of, inshallah, handling these matters. And eventually, inshallah, if there is a fatwa to be given, hand it over to the Jamiat, the senior ulama and mufti of the country, inshallah, for a final verdict. But alhamdulillah, the initial interview and interaction till you come to a final, not that they're not capable of coming to an answer, but always when you have a mufti giving a fatwa, it's always checked, verified before it is sent out. It has to have a stamp, an official stamp, and also a statement to say, has been verified and checked by so and so. And wallahu a'lamu bisawab. You'll always find on a fatwa in the end that we did our best to the best of our knowledge in terms of Quran and hadith and fiqh. We have given our statement and fatwa and ruling. Wallahu a'lamu bisawab. Allah knows the best. It's a very, very important point that sister raised. Because it will save all this fitna. You see, the moment a man knows whether, I'm not saying all alims do this. This is what I'm saying, that you will always find some of the ulama who are either divorced.
Yes.
Or some of them who are having marital problems or marital problems, you want to call it. this is unfortunately sometimes they become victims. They become, shaitan really gets the better of them. And they find a little bit of kindness. That's why when you speak to an alim, don't speak in a sweet voice. Not that you must be rude.
Oh, well said, Ustaz.
No, no. Your voice is what you are sometimes. Many times they tell you, Molana, now we can put a face to your voice. I have this every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Sharia said that when a woman speaks to a man, Molana, whether he's an alim or whoever it is, out of necessity, she wants to ask a question, she needs to be stern in her way of presenting herself and asking. Yes, I'm not saying they must be rude, but if you're going to be smiling and you're going to be talking in a very sweet tone and melodious voice and in a stylish voice, Molana, Shaitan is going to definitely put some and some evil thoughts. Mm. I'm not saying with all. And again, I'm saying this and reiterating, Molana, social work is not a job for every alim.
I was just going to tell you that to start.
Mm. Wallahu al-Azim, with the young ulama, they can get carried away. Mm. I'm not saying the old ulama, I'm just saying. You need a nerve of steel, Molana, because a woman is so beautiful, she's everything, she comes to you. Molana, you have to think twice. My Allah is watching me, what I'm doing, what I'm saying.
Ustad, I see Brother Firoz says, tell Molana Salim Karim, our sisters are very vulnerable. I mean, even that, if they are vulnerable, that does not give you the ijazat for you to take advantage of them. Am I right, Ustad?
Molana, the sister came to you in total confidence that he will give me a Sharia to rule. Can you imagine with such... She never come there to flirt with that Ali.
Yeah,
Molana, definitely not. She is dying. Her home is going. She's looking for salvation. How she's going to save her marriage. And here I am now saying, you know what? It's like adding salt to the wound.
Mm.
So unfortunately, Molana, we also have to be selective to which ulama that we associate with. Some of them just, I'm not saying all, I'm just saying some of them just don't have the art. They went for no experience, no training, no professionalism in them, unfortunately, when it comes to handling marriage and divorce cases. We hear some complaints, Molana, it's unrealistic. Use hikmat, use wisdom. Be kind, be polite, yes, but be direct. And the least you can speak, the better it is, alhamdulillah. You gave the answer, you explained. Jazakallah, sister, inshallah, please take this advice. And if there is any need, please come back. But Molana, I want to prolong the conversation. I'm looking for other small things now. Because now I'm testing her. I'm testing her now. Because she's vulnerable. She'll do anything if I ask her to do, Molana. And we forget that Allah Ta'ala is watching. You know, a sahabi, a person came to Rasulullah, a young man. Mm. Rasulullah, give me permission to commit zina. The sahaba ikram stood up and wanted to throw him out. How dare you ask Rasulullah this question? But look how Rasulullah handled it. Professionally, Rasulullah called the young man knee to knee touching. Rasulullah asked him, do you have a mother? He says, gee, ya Rasulullah, would you like somebody to commit zina with your mother? He says, no.
Mm.
Do you have an aunt? He says, gee, ya Rasulullah. Would you want someone to commit zina with your aunt? He says, no, ya Rasulullah. Do you have a sister? And he gave the same answer. Then Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on this young man's heart and made a dua, Allahumma tahir qalbahu. Rabbul Alameen, cleanse this young man's heart. There's lust in it there, there's filth in it there. Wa ahsin farjahu. And Allah protect his private parts. So as ulama, Marana, this is a specialized field.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everybody's cup of tea to sit down and counsel people. And I always say, it's not every sister's job to do this also, Marana.
Mm.
You have to have a lot of sabr in you. You have to have tahammul in you. You have to have taqwa in you. You have to be conscious of Allah all the time. That I'm giving advice, I'm talking to somebody, it's going to either make them or break them. And what answer am I going to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah's lanat is on that person who comes and breaks another man's home. So what I'm doing here, instead of giving advice, Molana, I'm taking her to Jahannam, I'm talking some other story. It shows that the person who is involved in the counseling has problems himself. He should be not sitting on that chair.
Ustaz, I don't want to read the next question to you. It's said. I'm just going to say it in a nutshell. In a nutshell. The sister, she's trying to say here that she and her husband, they went for counseling, and the husband planned all this. He planned, and he made the counselor that was counseling them to start chatting to her. So the husband told the counselor that, you know what, you will see my wife will fall into this trap, and she will start chatting to you and dating, you know, this anonymous sister. I mean, absolutely crap, Maulana Salim Karib. I mean, this is not on, Ustad. I don't know, Ustad, if you understand what I'm saying. It's like the husband,
he's setting his wife up for failure.
Yeah, exactly, Ustad. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Maulana, then that person is the youth. Mm. What's the word? What's the word you told me last time in English? The youth, that
cuckold.
He doesn't bother which man comes to his house, or who comes to his house, or who talks to his wife. In Urdu, you call him the youth. Mm. That's the interpretation for that husband. He's got no sharam and haya. That is his wife. He brought her in the name of Allah. Mm. He promised Allah Rabbul Alameen to take care of her. All the three verses that we read in Nikah, Ya ayyuhan nas uttaqullaha. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu uttaqullaha. Fear Allah, fear Allah. See? And here you're setting your wife up because you want to score against her and find a fault in her, so that tomorrow, whatever secret agenda you have, you'll have an alibi and say, no, she was having an affair with the council.
Well said, Ustaz.
Inna lillahi
wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Allah Ta'ala protect us. Now, that's what I'm saying. We want to go to a doctor. We are selective to which doctors we go. Because we got confidence in the doctor. Alhamdulillah, he treated my family. We have a history. For all the last 40 years, 50 years, my father, my grandfather, today's grandchildren, great-grandchildren are all going to the same doctor. Because we put our trust. We know his sincerity, his honesty, and the way he talks and the way he behaves. So we have put trust. So it's also important that the wife should not just accept, I'm going to go to this, what you call counsel.
Yes, correct.
We have to find out who is this person, what is his capabilities, what is his qualification, do we have some reference in him from society. Then only, inshallah, then you can say, look, this is something so private and secret, Maulana. I don't want the whole world to know about it. I'm confiding in this person I took my husband with. And here I'm being set up for failure. Maulana, that husband is a real idiot. Allah Ta'ala protect us. You know, to do this to your wife, forget your wife, this is somebody's daughter.
Ya Allah.
She's the mother of your children. With sharam bi togaro, have some sharam and modesty. It's sad, Maulana, but Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the sister.
Mm. 13 minutes to 12. Somebody says, Ya Ustad, I stand for the sister. What she's saying, I'm a widow. My husband passed away. He was murdered, Maulana Salim. I thoroughly missed him. Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor and grant him the highest stage in Jannatul Firdaus. Maulana Salim, I'm 41 years old. 6 months after my husband passed away, I received a message from a businessman saying, I knew your husband quite well. And she says, yeah, blah, blah, blah. How about we become friends? Later on, Maulana Salim, he says, can I date you? I will look after you. Couldn't he say, Maulana Salim, would you like to become my second wife? But no, men take advantage of we sisters in Islam. Come on, Ustad. Come on, Ustad.
That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's the duty of the ulama, it's the duty of the parents, and it's the duty of society to get married to divorce women,
Allah,
and get married to widows.
If
you want to have a pure environment, you want to have a pious situation, then help the sisters to get married. Help the divorcee to get married. Help the widow to get married. Because if not, we are going to open doors of fitna. And unfortunately, this is what a sister said to me day before yesterday, that Maulana, I'm divorced now and somebody has come to know about it. They're already sending missed calls to me in private numbers. They're saying some nasty things to me. Allahu Akbar.
Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
You know, this is where we need family support. We need to come in to help the sister who's going through this distress. But we are aggravating it and making it worse by making these types of remarks. Yes, the sister is correct by saying, you know what, can I become your second wife? Fine, there's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong,
if you can look after her, there can be fairness, you can do justice. Bismillah. Allah will reward you for looking. You saved the sister's life. You saved the izzat of a woman.
What a great sawab it is, Maulana. But do it for the right reason.
Ustad, are there men out there who take advantage of we sisters in Islam?
For plenty, Maulana. Whether you're an alim's wife or whether you are an ordinary person's wife. They know that you're a divorcee. Maulana, you'll be surprised what happens. You'll be surprised what happens. The phone calls, the sites, comments that are made, the messages that are sent by third party. It's like, you know what? She's like, you know, like somebody that's on the street available. No other, no respect. Sake of saying, inshallah, can I go to that family and say, can we help this sister of yours or this wife of yours or whatever it is? No. Nafs is there, shaitan is there. Because I want her only for one reason. I want to bed her. And have fun and then go. Leave her to the wolves. Well, we have sisters, we have wives, we have daughters, we have granddaughters. Wallahi, what you shall do. He say karni, we say parni. Whatever you're going to do is going to come back to bite you. So if you think by you having money, power, and influence, nobody can touch you, not the police, not the law, not the alims, nobody, remember, there's Allah watching. Allah ki lati mein awaz nahi hoti hai. In the stick of Allah, there is no sound. And when the power, when the punishment of Allah comes, then it will be just too late for you.
Somebody says here, Ustad, I'm not understanding what you mean, women are vulnerable. This is a sister from Azadville. She's a student of Deen. She says, I mean, they should know what's wrong and they should know what's right. Am I right, Maulana Salim Karim? Ustad?
100%. Maulana, vulnerable. You see, sometimes, you know, I had a call a morning, this morning. One of the sisters said, Maulana, I think it is time for our parents to discuss with us feminine issues. My mother should teach me and talk to me on certain aspects of sexuality, certain responsibility as childbirth, what I'm going to go through, what is intimacy, what is sexual relationship. My mother should talk to me about this. The parents are nowhere on the scene. We feel shy. We talk about every other thing in the home on that eating table. I'm saying, Maulana, it is so fathers must do this to the son. From the time the son becomes baligh, you've got to explain to him what Sharia allows you, what Sharia doesn't allow you. You're now a baligh, you're a big boy, you're answerable to Allah. Maulana, if we are going to keep our sisters, yes, mashallah, they are in hijab, they are in parda, they are alimas, alhamdulillah. They are in a protected fort. But once they finish as an alima and they get married, they're going into a next environment. They're going to a next home. Have I trained my daughter? Have I influenced her? Or have I made her, you know, aware that, look, these are the things that's going to happen to you. And if this happens, do this. If that happens, do that. We don't talk to our children, Maulana. We feel shy to talk to them. Then obviously now, they are going to go onto the net. They are going to go to their friend. And they are going to learn haram and wrong things. Wrong influence. Because I as a parent failed my daughter. I as a father failed my son. So we need to start teaching our children. Talking to them. Yes. According to the age, according to the understanding, and according to the necessities of
yes.
I'm not saying be explicit. Who is better, Maulana? Is it a mother or an outsider or another sister who can explain the finer and nitty-gritties of sexuality? Who?
A mother.
Mother, Maulana.
A mother.
Likewise, who? The father. But you ask a young man, he doesn't know nothing. All he knows is whatever he saw. So, Maulana, we need to wake up. We need a wake-up call, all of us, as parents.
Ustad, somebody says...
We need to start... Yeah,
somebody says, Maulana, the children caught their father on his cell phone having an affair with a divorced lady. It says here, and got her name as a Maulana so-and-so. We could not find out, but with the help of Allah, he got caught. Anonymous. I want to remain anonymous. Ustad.
A'udhu Billah. Maulana, just on that, you know, this is how we relate to marriage and our wife. In the first, before marriage, we say, my darling, mashallah, my jalebi, you can use all the most beautiful words.
Before marriage, how do we address the female? My darling.
Mm.
6 months later, my honey.
Mm.
See? And when the first child is born, you say, no, that's my child's mother.
Ya Allah.
My child's mother. This is the respect that you give to her. When you're courting her, my darling. 6 months later, my honey, subhanAllah, when you married, such beautiful names. And when the first child is born, this is my mother's, my child's mother. And 6 years later, saved as wrong number. That's what you save your wife's name. Wrong number. Maulana, what example is that father setting to his daughters and to his children? What answer are we going to give to Allah when Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who believe, safeguard yourselves and your family from the fire of Jahannam. You are encouraging the fire of Jahannam in your house. Whether you are in direct contact with the female or via WhatsApp or via what you call internet or whatever it is. It is sad.
Mm.
The last time we discussed this thing about cyber sex, Maulana, what is happening via the computer.
Astaghfirullah.
It's another big fitna in our society.
Mm.
And we need to address that, inshallah, in one of the programs which we have to do.
Ustad,
we need a psychologist to come in here, Maulana.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
We need a sexologist to come in here. We need ulama to come in here. And we need to explain to the masses, okay, the harms and the evil of it, what it does to a man, destroys every aspect of his life.
Mm. Well, so just before we terminate the program this beautiful Wednesday morning, there's an anonymous sister, a non-Muslim sister by the name of Rachel. And of course, she's also tuning and listening to the program. And she wants to ask you, Maulana Salim, that why are there so many divorces taking place around the world? This is Sister Rachel in every religion. Could you please answer me? Ustad, you've got about 3 minutes left. Ji, Ustad.
The most important thing first in marriage is that, alhamdulillah, there must be compatibility. One is that you're getting married, alhamdulillah, that's a great sunnah of the Prophet, or in any religion, you're getting married.
Mm-hmm.
But there must be a compatibility. Compatibility in what? Number one, be deen. First and foremost, you know, religious-wise, the person that I'm getting married to, is he? I'm not saying he must be a saint, but at least there must be God consciousness in him. He must have the fear of God, the fear of Allah. That's priority. Number two, his temperament. We are all actors. When we want to go and propose or we want to get married, we give off our best. Once the nikah is done, akahtuha wa qabiltuha, and she comes home, then you now take out the disguise and you show your real chart, if I have to use that word, who you are. So, the sister asked a good question. Why so much of divorces? Number one is that we are getting involved in relationships before marriage, which is haram, which is forbidden in Islam. You can't court in Islam. You find out from family and friends, inshallah, about the personality of whom you want to propose for or to, inshallah, and once that is officially done, the next step immediately, without any delay, is to, inshallah, have the marriage completed and perfected, and then, inshallah. But, again, the question here is, why do we have so? Because we are not compatible. It's chalk and cheese. What I like, he doesn't like. What he likes, I don't like. So, first and foremost, the quality of God consciousness, taqwa. Number two, is the temperament of the person. Number three, will he financially take care of me as Sharia has allowed? Number four, will he allow me to have interaction with my family? Because it doesn't mean after nikah that she's my wife. Now she can't go to her mother's house. She can't visit her family. No, Sharia allows that. There are certain men and husbands who refuse flatly. You are not going to go to your mother's house. And I don't want your mother in my house too. So bottom line, Molana, is that we are not on the same page. If we are on the same page, Molana, we're not on the same line. That's the bottom line. That is why we're having so much of difficulties in marriage. And the third thing is ego. You can't have two bulls in one corral, Molana. You can't have two kings in one kingdom. That is why Allah has given men superiority. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. That they are guardians, they are protectors of wives. They're not the owner. Your wife is not your slave. She's your wife, she's somebody else's daughter. Treat her fairly and according to what Islam and what Sharia. But bottom line, Molana, is do your homework before you get married. Number one, do not start a forbidden relationship before marriage. It ruins all the barakat, because if I'm courting a girl, Molana, I'm going to do lots of things. Initially, I'm going to sit like a farishta. We will just talk. And slowly, slowly, then the hands meet. Gee, then the face meets, and then the lips meet, and then Allah knows best what will happen. So you're starting the relationship on haram. So how do you expect Allah Ta'ala to give you sa'adat and barakat when you make nikah? Everything is done and finished now. Where's the pleasure? Where's the excitement? Where's everything? Because it's done and finished. It's gone stale.
Allahu
Akbar. So do not start a haram relationship before nikah. Be genuine. Make your istikhara.
Ameen.
Find out about the boy or the girl.
Ameen.
And make the proposal, inshallah. Accept it. And then bismillah, make the nikah. And then try to understand each other. It takes time, 6 months, 1 year, before you really come to know your husband or you come to know your wife.
Well, so we're going to
allow for the tolerance.
Ustaz, we're going to leave it there, inshallah. Of course, time is up. Up next is the 12 o'clock news. Of course, we will be with you tomorrow evening, Ustaz, for all the hajis, all the hujjaj, Ustaz. So, inshallah, maybe tomorrow evening we will be together again, inshallah, Ustaz.
Si, Molana, inshallah, we'll do that.
Ameen, inshallah. Barakallah feekum, Ustaz. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, that was the Fadilatul Ustaz, Hazrat Mawlana Salim Karim Damat Barakatuhum.